Okay guys, let's get started.
We are here.
We are on Samech Beis, Amud, with the Bamud Amud Aleph from there. Samech Beis Amud Aleph, and we're going to do Samech Beis, and we're going to do Samech Beis Amud Beis today. We're the place we're up to is 6 lines from the bottom. And it's the third word on the line, Gufa. 6 lines from the bottom, third word on the line, which is Gufa. Okay, so the Gemara says, Gufa, Amr Yehuda Amarav, Le'olam yanhig adam es atmo shachet arvis kedesha lo yehe tzarech lizrachei. Okay, so we're continuing from last week with the discussion of the proper ways to utilize the bathroom. So it is best to use the bathroom early in the morning and already in the evening after it's dark, so that a person should not have to too much distance himself from other people for the purposes of privacy. In those days, they used to use outdoor restrooms, and it didn't have walls. So therefore, if it was during the day, you'd have to really walk far into the outskirts of the city in order to relieve yourself. It's better than to try to plan it, if you can, to go early in the morning before people are up and about and it's not fully light yet, and the same is true in the evening, so that you don't have to go as far out away from people. Tanya nami hachi, ben adze omer, hashkem vitzei, get up early and go out to relieve yourself. Ha'arei vitzei, in the evening also go out to relieve yourself. Kedei shelo tisrachei, so you don't have to go too far away from other people. Mishamesh vishav. Okay, so also, vishav. You should go ahead and, I guess there was some technique to opening up the opening of the rectum with using a tzror. Rashi says either like a rock or a little stick to induce the opening of the bowels. Okay, there was some technique to use. So it's better to do that first and then to sit down. Okay. That's one Rashi's explanation. The other explanation he quotes here is that first you should clean the toilet seat and then sit down. Don't sit down and then try and clean things up.
Timashmish.
So
Mashmish, looking around.
Oh. Now here it means in terms of trying to open things up. So it's best to do that before you sit down. And the reason why isn't exactly obvious to all of us. Shekhosh yoshev umim mashmesh, and anyone who sits down and then does this procedure of opening things up, afil osin kishafim de asfamia ba'in alav. He opens himself up if he doesn't do this procedure to sort of sorcery or witchcraft that will harm him. And even if they're doing this sort of sorcery out as far away as Asfamia, some faraway place, still it can affect him if he doesn't first prepare his body for going to the bathroom. Okay. Again, this is something which is on a different level, spiritual level. The inshe, the yasiv, and if he goes ahead and sits down improperly without first preparing himself or preparing the bathroom. V'yachakach mashmesh, my tikante. What is the way to fix it? If you don't sit down the right way, how can you fix the situation? The answer is kikai, when you get up, lemahachi, say the following words. Loli, not to me. Loli, not to me. Don't have these things apply to me. Lo tachim, velo tachtim. Not these tachim and tachtim are these names of these sort of spells that are associated with going to the bathroom. So some kind of spells should not be on him. Lohani velomihani, not these types of spells, not even a portion, a part of these spells. Again, I don't know the translation. It's like some form of, Rashi says, these are shemot, these are the names of kishafim, ha'asuyim ayide tachtonim. These are some kind of sorcery, these are some kind of curses that occur through the going to the bathroom. So that is, these are names of these type of spells that can occur. So lohani v'lohani, these are not even from them. V'locharshe v'decharasha, not the spells of a sorcerer. V'locharshe decharashta, and not the spells of a sorceress. So you say this type of thing to, again, prevent any harm coming to you from the the situation that you you didn't set up yourself properly. Okay, let's continue. Tanya, top of the next page. Talk to the top of the Sanaf Beis Amud Beis. Ben Azai Omer. So we're continuing to relay suggestions of Ben Azai. I'll call Mishkav Shachav Chutz Min HaKarka. You can lie down anywhere except for on the ground. I'll call Moshav Shav Chutz Min HaKorah, and you can sit anywhere except for on the beam. Now, it does say in Pirkei Avos that a person who wants to grow in Torah, it should pass Melch Tochal, the Arz Keshes. So you should lie down on the ground, and you should eat even bread and just salt. It's a simple living, simple life, even if you're lying on the ground. So here, Ben Azai says you shouldn't lie on the ground. The explanation they give is that a person should lie down on the ground uncovered without being properly, at least with a, if you put like a thin blanket on the bottom and just be clothed, then that's very bare bones sleeping, not very comfortable, but at least you're not exposing yourself to the elements. Here, what Ben Azai is saying is don't lie down on the ground exposed to the elements where you're going to get sick, you're going to be harmed. So, and also, don't sit on a beam. Because if you're up suspended, sitting, let's say everyone's hanging out in the house and there's a rafters up there, don't sit on the rafters because you're opening yourself up to someone's going to come and you might fall down. Or the evil inclination will come, the Sitra Achra will come and it's going to say bad things about you and it's going to cause you to fall down. So in other words, don't put yourself in a dangerous situation unnecessarily. Don't put yourself in a dangerous situation. Amr Shmuel. Shena ba'amud ha-shachar ke astama liparzalav. Sleeping during dawn. Okay, sleeping during dawn is like, in the very early morning, is like steel to iron. Now, steel is a purified metal of iron. And what they used to do is they used to coat their iron with steel in order to make it stronger. So that sleep during this early morning hours is beneficial. As opposed to sleeping during the late morning hours, which at that point is not beneficial, that just exposes one to potentially missing davening, missing kriyashma, and overindulging in terms of sleeping too long. But sleeping during the early morning hours, that's helpful, and it's healthy. Yitziya ba'amud ha-shachar, and also going out to the bathroom early in the morning, as we spoke about already earlier, is also ke astama leparza, is also, again, beneficial, like the steel is to the iron, in terms of, again, it's a healthy habit to use the bathroom early in the morning. Bar Kafra having mizdaven immediately to dinari. So Bar Kafra used to go ahead and he used to give advice with the coin. He used to basically, it's unclear, either they explained that he meant he used to charge people for like good advice, or his good advice was worth something, like it was worth coins, like it was worth money. If you listened to his advice, it was actually worth something. So what was the advice he would give? So ad dekanas echol, when you're hungry, eat. Don't wait till later, because by the time you come later and you let the hunger sit around, you're really not as excited about the food, it's not as helpful. And there's when you have the hunger pangs, that's the time to eat something. Ad tzachi shasi, when you have thirst, is when you should drink something. Ad ratva kidrach shafoch, when you have, it literally translates as ratach, right, is to boil. Kidrach is your pot. When your pot's boiling, means when you have to use the bathroom, shafoch, you should go to the bathroom, let it go. Don't hold it in. If you feel like you have to defecate, if your stomach's rumbling, not from hunger, but if it's just,
cleaner way to say it.
Yes, exactly. It's Lashon Nikia. Haina Kraya Beroma. If you have the call going out, you have they're sounding a horn in Rome. Rashi means they used to blow the horn when people should come to buy. You had to announce the buyers and sellers. So bar mizavin. Tonight, the Avuch Zavin. At that point, a son who is selling can sell the dates of his father, sorry, the figs of his father, he can sell. In other words, at the time that they're announcing that the buyers are available to come buy figs, if his father has figs to sell and his father's not available at that moment, he shouldn't give up the opportunity to sell those to say, wait, I'll wait for my father to come and he'll make the deal. He's the one in charge. Because if he waits and his father comes after the buyers have left, as you know, right, supply and demand, he won't get a good price, he won't be able to sell his produce, his wares, and therefore, at the time that the buyers are available, the son should feel free, should be comfortable to sell his father's merchandise.
You know the story about the Hurban. There was a lady that, what's her name, She was very stanis.
Marta Bar Baitius?
Marta Bar Baitius.
Yeah.
She was hungry. She sent her slave to buy something. He didn't find exactly. He came back. She said, okay, bring this. By the time he go back and forth.
She ended up, right, exactly. If you don't, in other words, at the time at the time the market's available, you have to be active in the market. Right, exactly, correct. Good connection. So Amr Abaye the Rabbanon, Abaye said to Rabbanon, Kalisu b'shevili d'mechuza l'mefak bay b'chakla. When you go ahead and you walk through the side streets of the city, in order to go out to the fields, in other words, you're going out to, again, in a nice way of saying, to go to the bathroom to relieve yourself. So, lo techozu lahachis or lahachis, you should not look from either to the right or the left. In other words, just walk straight ahead. Dilma yastinashi, because maybe women are also out there. In other words, that's where everyone used to go to use the bathroom. So if you're going out to use the bathroom, don't start looking around, because lavarachara lestekuli bahu. It's not proper to look upon, to gaze upon other people when you are using the bathroom. So I guess also when you're walking out to your car after Marid, going by the mikvah, so again, don't start looking around, because again, women are walking back and forth to the mikvah. Again, it's not proper to start looking around when people are doing things that are private. So granted, sometimes you have to be in the same vicinity, but try and keep your gaze away from others when it's meant to be a private situation.
It's hard to do it. I was saying this is inappropriate. The way the entry and all that.
So again, so when you're going to your car, if your car is parked near that area, so...
I was just saying there is no privacy over there.
It is. The women feel that way also. Yeah, they agree. They agree. But again, what it is, when you're walking there, don't look from right to left, like you're walking to the bathroom here, because, that, again, people are doing things which are meant to be private, so don't start looking around. So Safra went to the bathroom. Atar Rabbi Abba Nachar Le Abava. So Rabbi Abba came also to the bathroom. And he coughed at the door to see if anyone was inside. The Amr lay, Sir Safra says to the person outside, Le Omar, come in. So Batu Dinafak, when he came in, Amr lay, Ad Hashta lo Alias Lisear, you have never been to Sear, you've never been to like near Rome basically, or to the children of Esau. The Garanto Hamila de Sear, and but yet you are following the ways of Sear. You're following the inappropriate actions of people who are not refined, because Seir is Esav, Har Seir. So you should not go ahead. We're talking about now the bathroom with lots of stalls. It's like a one stall bathroom. Don't invite other people. Why are you talking? Rashi explains you're not supposed to talk in the bathroom. So why did you encourage me to come in when you were in the bathroom? You should have stayed quiet, and I wouldn't have come. Or say, make the noise. No one's that you're there, and I wouldn't have come in. Why are you inviting me to come into the bathroom? And some are showing, like Rashi, focus on the talking. You should not have talked in the bathroom. That's what Rashi focuses on in this case. You should not have spoken. You shouldn't have said le'almar. You should not have said come in. When you're in the bathroom, you're not supposed to speak. You're not supposed to speak to other people when you're in the bathroom. When you're involved in relieving yourself, you should be quiet. That's not a time for conversation. So you shouldn't have said, come in. So explain yourself. And he says, the proof that you shouldn't speak when you're in the bathroom is, and you shouldn't invite people in certainly also, is Lav Hachitam, we learned in the Mishnah in Tamid. It says, Medura Haitzasham. We're talking about there was a Beit Hamokad. There was this place where the Kohanim used to sleep, which had a big fire in the middle of it. And when they had to go to the bathroom, the Kohanim in the middle of the night, or they would go down this corridor. There was this like tunnel. It led to a bathroom, and it says Sham Ubesakise Shok. It says, and there was a Madura. There was a big bonfire there that people should after they relieved themselves, they had to go to the mikvah in the Beis Mikdash. After they went to relieve themselves, if they had defecated, they had to go to the bathroom. They had to go to the mikvah, and they would warm themselves because they were wet and it was cold often at night, and the stones are cold. They would go to this fire to warm themselves up. But also in the same area was a bathroom, and they called the bathroom Beis Kisei Shel Kavod. It was the Beis Kisei, the bathroom of honor. Well, what was the honor of the bathroom? What was so honoring? What was so proper about it? The Zehaya Kavod, the Mishnah explains, this was its honor. What was the honor? Mitzao Na'ul. If you find the door closed to the bathroom, Biadua Sheisham Adam, there was someone inside, so you knew not to go in. It was to keep privacy. Mitzao patuch, if you found the door open, be a dush ein shem adam. So the way they had set up the custom there was that you see the door closed, don't go in. You know someone's inside. You don't have to even knock. You don't have to start pushing. You don't have to start talking. There's no any conversation at that time. And if you see the door open, then you know that no one's inside. It's safe to go in. That's one at a time. So that was the way in which they were able to keep privacy private without the need to start conversing about, hey, can you come in? No, you can't come in. You need to come in. You would know the situation. Again, Alma, you see from here, Lavo Echaruhu, it's not proper to start talking in the bathroom. So the question is, once again, that's his proof. Why, Rav Safra, were you talking to me, telling me come into the bathroom? Why were you doing that? So again, Gemara answers, Zuhu and he, Rav Safra, thought, Savar, Misukanhu. He thought the person knocking at the door, basically asking to come in, had a dangerous situation. What was the dangerous situation? Titania says in the Brisa, Rishim and Gamliel Omer, Amoda Chozer, Mevi Adam Adeh Hadarkon. If a person goes ahead and holds back and, like, you know, sort of causes the excrement to go back up by holding it in at a time when he needs it to let it go out, it causes Darkon. Darkon was dropsy, some kind of a gastrointestinal illness. Silon HaChozer, a person causes his urine flow to back up the wrong way, was that cause Mevi Adam Lide Yarkon, it causes jaundice. So that he thought, Rav Safra thought that the person trying to get in was in one of these medical emergencies. So medical emergency, come in. You need to come, but he didn't realize it was just trying to figure out whether someone was in the bathroom. So again, if someone's in the bathroom, it's best to kind of just make a noise if you're in the bathroom to let someone know that you can't come in, that it's occupied, rather than speak. And certainly should not strike up a conversation while someone is in the middle of relieving themselves in the bathroom. Rav Elazar al Abesakise, Rav Elazar was in the bathroom. Asahu Parsa, there was a Persian who came in. Dache, he kind of like pushed him out, bumped him out. So Tom Rav Elazar enough. So Rav Elazar, okay, he's not going to fight, so he gets out of the bathroom. At that moment, Ata Derakona, Shamte Lekarkashte. Rashi explains a Nachash, the translation of Derakona is a Nachash, and he ripped out the person's rectum. Because he basically bit him he bit the Persian below, and basically killed him. So Kara Ale, Rabbi Elazar quoted about this circumstance the following pasuk. It says, "V'etena adam tachtecha." I'm going to put another person in your place of danger, so that you're not going to be injured, but someone else will, who's deserving of punishment. So Al tikri adam el edom. I'm going to put Edom, again, the children of Esav, in that place, not because they, why is this connected? Because we said that the people of Edom were not private in the bathroom, and therefore, when Rav Abba saw that Rav Safra was not acting privately or acting with proper tznius in the bathroom, he said, you're acting like Seir. You're acting like the descendants of Esav. And therefore, since they're not private in the bathroom, therefore their actions cause this punishment to occur, where they put themselves in danger in the bathroom. That retribution, that punishment, was related to their practices of impropriety or practice more of lack of tznius and privacy in the bathroom. Okay, we're up to two dots. Second wide line. Okay, so here the Amar Lahargach, we're continuing to Darshan Psukim in Shmuel. The story here is where Shaul is running after David to kill him. And David had the opportunity to kill Shaul HaMelech because Shaul HaMelech, when he was on the chase, he had veered off the path to use the bathroom. And when he veered off the path to use the bathroom, he went into a cave. Happens to be in that cave where he went to relieve himself, hiding in the shadows with David and his men. And obviously that was a ripe opportunity while he was busy in the bathroom. David could have killed Shaul, and he would have been maybe rightfully so killing him because he was a rodef, as we'll see from the Gemara, that he was someone trying to kill David, so David could defend himself. So the Gemara is going to review the psukim regarding this episode. The pasuk says, "V'amar lehargacha." So David sends a message to Shaul after this episode in the bathroom, where he didn't kill Shaul. He instead cuts off the corner of his cloak, and he lets Shaul know, "I could have killed you, and you know how you should know, because you're seeing the corner of your cloak is missing, and then nothing else. So you were safe." But why was he safe? So David explains. The Amr Lahargifa, and it was said to kill you, Vitachotalecha, and it had pity upon you. Now, the Gemara says it's a very strange pasuk. If David sang the message, he should have said the Amr, he should have said and it was said, he should have said The Amarti, and I said, David should have said the first person, I said I should kill you. Okay, Mibayle, that's how the pasuk should read. Vitachot, and it was pitied upon you. It should say, Vichasti, and I had pity on you. So David Melch should have been, if he's talking to the first person, that I could have killed you. And I had pity on you, Shaul, and therefore realized that I'm not out to kill you. We should make peace. So he should have used in the first person. So why is it spoken in the third person? So Amr Belazar, Amr lo David lo Shaul. So David is now having a totally different conversation with Shaul. He's saying, Min HaTorah, from the Torah, meaning, who's Va'amar? The Amr Lahargacha means the Torah said, not me, not in first person, but in third person. The Torah said, Ben Harigata, you are someone who should be who's deserving of death. Why? Shahare Rodefata, because you are a Rodef. A Rodef is someone who is coming out to kill someone. He's chasing someone to kill them. That's a Rodef. Someone's running to kill someone. The HaTorah Amra, the Torah says, Ba Lahargacha Shkem Lahargo. If a person's coming to kill someone, he should, a person, don't wait, kill him first. Right? Strike him first. Ella, why didn't I do that? Sneu shahaisavach, because of the modesty that you showed when you go to the bathroom, he chasalecha. It wasn't I, David HaMelech, that showed pity and mercy on you, but it was your sneus. It's because of your righteousness, because you were so private and sanua in going to the bathroom, that is what caused you to have to be saved from this episode. Mayi, and what was his? What was the exact situation, the circumstances that caused him to be saved? So Shaul gets to the flocks. Al haderach v'sham ara, and on the way there was a cave. Ve'avo Shaul lahasecha siraglav, and Shaul went to cover his legs. Now, when it meant cover his legs, it meant it's a euphemism again, as we'll see the details, but it's a euphemism to using the bathroom to defecate. So Tana, the Bryce explains. Gadar lefanim min geder. Geder lefanim min geder. What he did was umara lefanim min umara. He not only did he go into a cave, he went into it with a one barrier behind another barrier. It was a double covering, and he went in a double cave, a cave within a cave, meaning a chamber with it, which had a deeper chamber within it. So he wasn't just going one level of privacy; he was going an extra level of privacy. It showed an intense amount of privacy. Also, it says lahasech esraglav, to cover his feet. To shelter his feet. The Amr of Lazar, that when he went to relieve himself, he covered himself as well. He didn't just expose himself open to when he went to relieve himself. He made sure to cover himself as well, so he wasn't being exposed, even at the time when normal people are exposed and using the bathroom. So that excessive privacy, that excessive snoot, was that which was a merit, which Shaul was not killed. Now, the book can continue. We're going to continue to discuss the story. He went ahead and in private, secretly, he cut the corner of Shaul's garment. Yosef Chanina says, you know, David Melch, by doing this, by cutting the corner of his garment, that's like waste, that's destroying a garment. Because David Melch showed this type of not properly respecting clothing by just cutting it, so Rabbi Chanina says, "Kol mevazes bagadim." Anyone who goes ahead and disrespects clothing, sof eino nehemem. He will not have relief from them. He will not have benefit from them. How do we see that? Shenemar, because we find at the end of David Hamelch's life, it says, "Hamelch David zakein, baba yamim," when he was old in age, bechasuv bagadim, and he would cover him with clothing, with many layers of clothing, velo yechamlo, and he did not still not find warmth. So he was cold despite having multiple layers of clothing. Now, just as an aside, there's a medrash which explains that it wasn't just that he cut the corner of a cloak, because that might not be so disrespectful. If I have a cloak and simply one corner of it is cut, how much does it damage the cloak? But the medrash says that, well, you know what he cut? He cut his tzitzis. He cut the corner of Shaul's tzitzis. That was the, yes, when it says here, that was, the reason why the medrash might be explaining that is because is trying to understand what was so disrespectful of David. What was such a big deal that he cut the corner of the clothing? It meant that he cut the corner of the tzitzis. And if you cut off the corner of the tzitzis, it's no longer a functional pair of tzitzis. Now it's puzzle. Mm-hmm. And now Shaul is walking around with a puzzle pair of tzitzis. Now that is very disrespectful to a pair of tzitzis. And in that case, that's why David Melch perhaps was punished in the future. All right, let's continue. Two dots. Puzzle continues. V'im Hashem, hisizcha, bi irach mincha. So if Hashem now has incited you against me, right? You caused Hashem. You're saying Hashem caused you to Hashem incited you to fight against me. Well, at least understand that this act where I saved you, let it be like a mincha. Accept it like a mincha, like a offering, like a peace offering. So understand. Look, I didn't kill you. Therefore, stop trying to kill me. Let's make peace. V'amr v'lazar. Amr l'kosh baruch hu David. Hashem said, David, you know, I take issue with the way you describe me. David is saying that Hashem caused Shaul to is inciting him against him. He says, Mesit karili. Hashem saying, David, you're calling me a mesit, someone who is inciting. Mesit, someone who is inciting one person against another to cause violence. Hare ani, because of that. Mashulcha b'davar shafil tinoko shabez raban yodinoso. I'm going to cause you to make a mistake with something that is so simple that any little kid knows what not to do. Jichziv, what is that case? Ki tisas rosh b'nei Yisrael l'fkudam. If you're going to count b'nei Yisrael, how do you count them? Everyone knows. How do you count Jewish people?
With money.
You count them with some other. You don't count them directly. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You collect.
In some other. Yes, you count the. You count collect shekel, the rest of the shekel, and then you count how many coins you have, and then you know how many people you have. Or you count with the apostles. You count in a shias lamecha varach lachasecha or menas la'adulam. You count 10 through a apostles. Meaning you indirectly count the nesro. Everyone knows that. Menas yish kofer nafsho. You're going to give a half shekel in order to count everyone. What David Melch do? It says miyab beyamod the satan yisrael. There's going to be the satan stands up against Bnei Yisrael, in this case causing a plague when David Melch did not count Bnei Yisrael properly. V'chziv, v'yaseis es David bahem lemor lecham lechmane es Yisrael. Lechmane es Bnei Yisrael. He told them, he caused this incite, David Melch incited the satan against Bnei Yisrael by saying, go count Bnei Yisrael. And he said, count them without any indirect form, directly. That's such a simple mistake David Melch made. Hashem says, that's the punishment for causing me to say that I'm someone who incites others. The Kevan, de Minehu, since he counts them, Lo Mishakal Minayu Kofar, he didn't take from them, when he counts them, a Kofar, a coin, he simply counts directly. The Siv, Vayit Hashem, Zivar Davar B'Yisrael, that's right, Devar B'Yisrael, caused a plague in Bnei Yisrael. Mehaboker at Eis Mo'ed, from the morning until the appointed time. What's the appointed time? My Eis Mo'ed, what does it mean the appointed time? So Amar, Shmuel Saba, Chasnei de Rabbi Chanina, Shmuel Saba, who is the son-in-law of Rabbi Chanina, Mishmei de Rabbi Chanina, name of Rabbi Chanina, Mishash Chitas Hatamid Ashas Rikaso. It was from the time the plague lasted. It was supposed to last 3 days, but instead only lasted from the time of the shechting of the Korban Tamid, which is at dawn, at daybreak, at dawn, ad shas rikaso, until the time it's supposed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan amar ad chatos mamish is until noon, because technically, the Tamid, the Korban Tamid of the morning, could be brought until noon. That was technically. So that was the limiting time of this plague. It was supposed to last longer, but Hashem only kept it until that time. Vayomer l'malach hamashis ba'am rav. So it says, the pasuk actually says, Vayomer l'malach, Hashem says, l'malach hamashchis ba'am rav, who is now destroying, killing a large number of the nation. And then the end of the pasuk says, v'ata heref yadecha. Now go ahead and stop what you're doing. Stop. Hold back your hand. Amar Rav Elazar. Amar Le'akosh Baruch Hu Le'malach. Hashem said to the Malach, Toli Rav Shebehem. It doesn't mean take, kill multitudes of Bnei Yisrael. Instead, what this means is I want you to take the greatest of them. I want you to take Rav Shebehem, the greatest of them. Sheyesh Bo Lifar Mehem Kama Chovos. Because through taking a Gadol, through the death of a Gadol, there's many, many avers that can be forgiven. It says that with the death of tzaddikim, the avonos of that generation are forgiven. Ba'os t'sha'a, meis Avishai ben Tzruya. Avishai ben Tzruya was died at that time. Sheshakul keruba shos Nehejim, who was equivalent in his greatness to the majority of this Nehejim. Okay, let's continue. So to that. U'bashchis ra Hashem v'yinachem. So with this destruction, Hashem saw it, and he said, you know, I feel bad. I want to reconsider what I did. I want to stop it. What now? It says, "B'hishchid ra'ah." He saw my ra'ah. What does Hashem see? So Amar Rav Ra Yaakov Avinu. He saw Yaakov Avinu. Dichtiv Vayomer Yaakov Kasher Ra'am Machane Elokim Zeh. Yaakov saw the angels of Hashem descending up and down this ladder, and he says, "Ah," he says, "Machane Elokim Zeh." So what they explain is that Yaakov saw these angels. These angels were protecting him. They were meant to protect Yaakov when he went to Beis Lavan. There were new angels that when he came back to Eretz Yisrael, they were going to protect him in Eretz Yisrael. And he calls it Machane Elokim. So through that recognition that Yaakov had many years earlier, that the angels protect us, and it's a Machane that he sees as a camp, here, Hashem protected the encampment of Bnei Yisrael through the merit of Yaakov. Ushmul Amar, Afaro Shel Yitzchak Ra. Shmuel says what the merit that he saw was the ashes of Yitzchak. He was supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, by Akedas Yitzchak. Shenamar Elokim Yir Elohaseh. Avin tells Yitzchak, you know, Yitzchak says, "Well, where's the korban? Just me and you walking here." So he says, "You know, Elokim Yir Elohaseh Le'ola Bani." If it's hinting that if we don't have the seh Le'ola Bani, you're going to be the one on the Mizrach. And in fact, we say that it's as if in some spiritual level that Yitzchak was in fact brought on the Mizbeach, and his ashes are munachim al gabi Mizbeach. So that is what was the merit of the Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Yitzchanafka Amar, Kesef Kippurim Ra. You know, he saw the money that was accepted by Bnei Yisrael, that machs the shekel, which they counted Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. Why did they do that? So the counting of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar served as a merit, through the proper way of counting them indirectly, served as a merit in the future when they're one time by Dov HaMelech counted improperly. The original count done properly can serve as a merit for the future count. Shenemar, Lakachta, Kesef Kippurim, Eitz Bnei Yisrael. What's a Kippurim? It's a Kesef Kippurim. It's a Kesef. It's a money that was to forgive. What did it atone them for? It was just to count them. There was no sin that was done Bnei Yisrael. So the answer is, he wanted how many Jews there were. Here, the atonement is, in the future, this is the reference, and we're trying to make a drasha, that the reference in the future is a time where Bnei Yisrael will need kapara, through being counted improperly, the original counts will give them that merit to save them. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Beis HaMikdash Ra, he saw the Beis HaMikdash. Now they say that this place was the place where this all occurred, was the place of the Makam HaMikdash, which was not yet built in the time of David HaMelech. And Hashem, after this episode where this plague occurred, he showed David the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Dichtiv, as it refers to the Beis HaMikdash, Bahar Hashem Yira'eh. This is the place that Hashem will see. What will he see? He'll see the merits of Bnei Yisrael, and he'll stop the plague. Now, Pligi bar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi bar Shmuel bar Nachmani, they argue about this exact point. Chad Amar Kesef Kippurim Ra'ah. One of them said that what Hashem saw was he saw the coins that they had, that half shekel they had counted in the Midbar, in the desert, and that was the merit for which saved Bnei Yisrael at this time of Dov HaMelech when they were counted improperly. That's the same machlokes we had before. And the other opinion says v'chadam or Beis HaMikdash Ra'ah. And the other opinion says he saw the Beis HaMikdash in its place, meaning the makom where it would eventually be built, where this episode was taking place. U'mistabra k'man d'amar Beis HaMikdash Ra'ah. And it makes sense according to the one who says that what Hashem saw was the future makom HaMikdash. Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk, asher ye'amar hayom b'har Hashem yera'eh. It says b'har Hashem yera'eh, that this is the place where Hashem will see. Because, and then the pasuk continues. This is the pasuk in Bereishis, which where he says, "Asher ye'amar hayom," even to this day, will say, "Behar Hashem yere," and the mountain of Hashem, Hashem will see. What's Hashem seeing in the future on this day? This was taking place many years ago in the days of the Avos. What it's referring to is a future time, by the time of David HaMelech, where Hashem in the future will see the Bnei Yisrael with the plague, and will say, "You know, I want to reconsider punishing them, and I'm going to stop the magefa, I'm going to stop the plague." Because of Hashem seeing the Makom HaMikdash in this place. Again, it refers to a future time that Hashem will see, referencing this time by David HaMelech. Okay, let's continue to one more spot. Yeah?
The words in here, he will see, and Eli, he will be seen. So it's referred to both.
Yeah, Behar, yeah, right, correct. Behar Hashem, Yeira'eh.
And he will be seen as the new world.
Right. Because it refers to all the Hashem, he will be seen there, and you will see.
It works for both. Because of the
excellent.
Hebrew word.
Very good.
The word that includes.
Right. Excellent. Okay. So now the Gemara continues. Lo yichanes adam lahar bayis makalo. It says in the Mishnah that a person should, you have to treat the har bayis with a lot of respect. So you don't come in like you're on the traveling on the road with your staff and everything. You put everything on the side. You walk in properly. Now, It also, in this Mishnah, the part we're going to focus on is that you should not make, the Mishnah had said, the Beis HaMikdash, the Har HaBayis, a kapandria. You should make a kapandria. Now, the Gemara wants to know, well, what is a kapandria? So, Amar Rava, kapandria kshma. It means what the translation is. The translation of kapandria means a shortcut. So, you should not make, a shortcut. You should not make the Har HaBayis a shortcut, meaning if you have to get from point A to point B, don't go straight through. If you're within the, but if you live on, if you live in what is it? If you live like in whatever the development on that side of town, you need to get the development over here. You need to get the lago. Don't use the shul as the shortcut to get through. So don't use the Har HaBayis to get through. Now we'll get to that halacha, which I have the Mishnah Berurah here. I want to show you something. It says so. The Gemara explains a little bit further. It explains like this. Rav Chana bar Adam Mishmeder of Sama Breder of Mari. Amar, where does this word come from? Like Kapanja. Keman de Amar Inshi. There was a phrase that was common at the time of the Gemara, which was Ad Makifna Adare Eol Baha. Rather than have to go around the Dari, to go around all these houses, Eol Baha, I will go in through this. Me, I'm going to take a shortcut. Rather than have to go around, I'm going to take a shortcut. So the fact they're using Anvakifna, it's similar to Kapandria. So that's the origin of that word, but it means a shortcut. Amr of Nachman, Amr Rabba Bravua, HaNichnas, from here, this is not just relevant to the times of Beis Mikdash, but it's relevant, as you point out, to our times. HaNichnas, the Beis HaKnesses, Al Menashe Lo Lassos Kapandria. If you go into the shul, intending not for the, you go into shul, you're walking into shul for a mitzvah. If you're going, we'll get into other possibilities. When you're going to shul for a mitzvah, let's say there's a bris in the shul. So mutar lasus kapanji. In that case, you're allowed to go out the other side straight through. You don't have to go the long way out. You can go the short way out because the reason why you got in there was for a mitzvah. Then it doesn't look so it doesn't look disrespectful to walk out the shortcut way. That's okay. Amar, we'll get to this in a second. Amar Rabbi Avahu. Amar. Im haya shvil miikara mutar. Now this is not a common situation, but if you had a path that was originally like you have some buildings sometimes in Israel or in New York City where like sometimes going right through the building is a connection to go from one street to the other. So if a shul is built around this sort of cut through that existed before the shul, it's obviously not embarrassing to use the cut through because it's pre-existing. Exactly, not very common nowadays. Amar of Chelbo, Amar of Huna, hanichnas beis haknesses lehis falel. If a person goes into shul to daven, mutar lasos. What?
When they build a new shul, this driveway that goes from point A to the lago becomes part of the shul.
If it still exists as a driveway, then it's fine. No. If you destroy the cut through, we're talking about the cut through still exists at the time the shul is still there.
Then what's the question?
Because it still practically cuts through the shul, you might have thought that's still not appropriate. But since that's the cut through, it's a well established cut through. And it still exists as a cut through, therefore it's okay.
Within of
Kapandria
is any part of the structure, not just the sanctuary.
Wait, hold on. So one thing at a time. We're talking about where you want to get from one side of the shul. I want to get to the other side,
right?
And I use the shul as a cut through, as opposed to having to walk around the shul.
And now the second halacha is, but if it was a cut through beforehand, and then they built the shul.
If there was some structure that was a cut through, and you built the shul around the cut through, you could still use the cut through. As opposed to saying you destroyed the cut-through, you built now a building in the cut-through. The cut-through doesn't exist anymore. You're asking a different question. You're saying if you destroy the cut-through, I think the cut-through doesn't exist anymore. If there's no more cut-through, then that's correct. So we're talking about where the cut-through still exists, and the shul is built around it. Therefore, you can still use the cut-through because you might have thought that it's still inappropriate because it looks like you're walking through the shul as the cut-through, but since that is an established cut-through, which still exists, as opposed to you're saying it didn't exist anymore, it's been destroyed. That's obvious. That thing where it's not talking about that case.
No, I would assume that meant that you're allowed to walk through the shul.
I'll have to look up. I didn't think that. I didn't assume that way. I thought that was obvious. If you destroy the cut through, what's the talk? I don't think it makes sense. I think if you destroy the cut through, the cut through's gone. That's now it's a shul. It's inappropriate. I assume we're talking about the cut through still exists and it's pre-existing, so the status doesn't change because you built the shul around it. But if it doesn't exist anymore as a cut through, then it doesn't exist. Okay. Again, you can have things like that where you walk through buildings and structures which preexisted the rest of the structure, or the new designation of the structure. Okay. Here we go. Amar v'chelbo, amar v'huna. Hanichnas, you want to mess. Hanichnas the basic knesset, li spalel. If you go into Davin, in that case, mutar. Some say chayet, but we'll see. Mutar lasos kapandria, shenemar, ubevo ha'am l'fnei Hashem b'moadim. When it says when Bnei Yisrael would go to the Har Habayis during the Moadim to see Hashem, you know, you're supposed to go to daven to bring your korban re'iyah to Hashem. Hold on. So it says the end of the pasuk is 1 second. It says where's the right? Oh, so it's the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. I think it says uvo ha'am uvo ma'aretz l'fnei Hashem b'moadim. If you went through the north gate to get in, to bow down from Hashem, you'd say, Derech Shar Negev. And you can go out through the south gate, meaning you go straight through. Even if that's a cut, even if that becomes a shortcut to you because you have to get to the southern side when you're done, that's, why is that appropriate? Because then it shows you're going through the entire Beis Mikdash. It shows your love because you're not just going through part of it. You want to see the entire place. I want to go through all of it. So then that's appropriate because you're going into Davin. The same thing is true for Shul. If you're going into Davin, you can walk through the other side, even if it's a shortcut for you, because it shows the proper respect for that place, for that location. Okay, we'll stop. We'll stop over here. All the Mishnah Berurah points out is that we're talking about mitzvah. It meant the mitzvah happening in the Shul. It doesn't mean I have a mitzvah in Lago.
Yeah.
I need a cut through, so the shul is a cut through. I'm going to a mitzvah. It's in Lago. No, in that case, you have to walk around the shul. What we were talking about before, where you're allowed to make a shortcut, is if the mitzvah is in the shul, as opposed to the Mishnah Berurah says the mitzvah is somewhere else. Then you cannot use the Beis Mikdash as a cut through. If your mitzvah is somewhere on the other side of East Jerusalem, you're in the new city. You can't do that. Okay.
Have a good night.